When you think of mission trips, what locations spring to mind? Maybe the so-called developing countries, the areas where poverty and sickness has a greater hold, or even those places where water is inaccessible and life is synonymous with survival. You wouldn't think of Iceland as such a place, as a mission trip location. But today we talk with Jonathan Walter, who works in the communication department for the Ministerial Association, and who took a group of young people to Iceland, not to vacation, but to reach those who are willing to hear the name of Jesus.
Yeah, well, basically it started with our annual conference in 2018, which was entitled To the End, which is based on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus tells us to go to the, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we thought, how can we make that a reality? How can we live that theme and not just talk about it? And so we decided to organize a mission trip that's based on prayer. And we were praying, you know, God, where do you want us to go? We weren't sure, but Iceland has always been something that we thought would be a great place to go to, because it is a secular, very liberal, very progressive place, post-Christian. It's right in between the United States and Europe. And it's a first world country. It's a place where the Adventist church is very, very small, about 100 active members. And it's a, from a human perspective, from a typical church member's perspective, a place where apparently missions doesn't work and outreach doesn't work. So we thought, hey, let's go somewhere where people say it's not working, and let's see if God can prove us wrong.
It is true. Most Christians think of developed countries as places where the message of Christ is ineffective, where the holy books are only fables with little power. So what is the attitude that one should take when you get to a post-Christian country with a group of Christians to pray and to reach those who have let their love grow cold?
To make a long story short, basically we had, God really worked everything out. We chose, hey, what if we go and do a mission where we don't focus on all the things that we can do, programs and initiatives and plans, and just let God plan the whole thing? What if we focus just on prayer and letting the Holy Spirit lead us step by step in this mission endeavor? And so in the planning process, it was a struggle, because you're basically taking a step of faith. You're like, we're gonna bring people from all around the world to this place, and then just pray. You know, what is God gonna do? Is this gonna be crazy? And you have in your heart, when you plan something, a mission outreach, you want to do something tangible. You don't want to do something that where you can give them numbers and say, okay, we did all of this and we reached this many people, and it's a temptation to try to come up with something so that you have to learn to live with the tension when you do a faith trip like this, that maybe there will not be any visible results. But do you trust God enough that He's gonna work despite that? Okay? And so that's what was hard in the months going after this, because I'm a very organized, planned person. I wanna get all these things done and have a list and all that stuff. And just letting go and really just praying that God will guide us in the process. So basically, we got there in August. We had, that's a whole other story and miracle, but we had 50 people, young and some older ones as well, from 6 continents of the world come together. For some of them, it was the first mission trip they've ever been on. And we came to Iceland, and we stayed in the capital region, where 75% of the country lives. Okay, Iceland has about 350,000 people that live there. And so we said, if we can reach the capital region, we can impact the entire country. And so we decided to go and pray. And basically the program looked like we would, as a group, we would just spend time on prayer, united prayer. And this is not just, you know, praying for 5 minutes for our prayer, for our meal, but really focusing on emptying our selfishness and our heart out to God, and just making sure that there's nothing between God and my heart that can be a problem.
But in Europe, in a post-Christian society, can prayer really work even if we have the right attitude? Is the power of God still present like in the days of old in a society that does not believe in His power?
Yeah, so that's the challenge. I am from Europe, and I know that, you know, it's talking about religion, talking about faith is not a thing that happens very naturally with people. It's much easier in the United States. But we that's what was part of this faith trip. We're like, we're just gonna do this. We're gonna basically go to people and offer prayer to them in a very non-threatening way. Just, hey, we're young people from around... We just told them the truth. We're young people from around the world. We would go from door to door and tell them. And we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God answers prayers. Is there something we can pray for in your life? Is there a challenge or something you're thankful for? And we were so amazed that God... that God was working on these people's hearts, preparing them as we were praying and interceding for them. But that there was an openness. There was an interest in... Not in discussing Bible truths. We didn't. That wasn't our purpose. The purpose was to remind or tell, maybe for the first time, some of these people that there is a God and that they can connect with Him. Because when you think about it, we could roll up there and do evangelistic meetings and tell them all of our fundamental beliefs. But what these people really need is to know the reality that there is something out there. There's someone out there who they need to connect with. Because for many of them, they have never even heard about this. I remember one teenager I met on the streets. I just talked to him and I told him what we're doing. He's like, what is prayer? You know, what is prayer? Like, what a question. And so we had to, you engage with them and you share with them. And they were very open. Of course, we had rejection as well, but it was mostly very positive, and it might have to do with some of the culture in Iceland. They are friendly, respectful people, but we were able to pray with hundreds of people. We were able to share, we were able to record all these prayer requests, and the point was not just to pray once, but to continually intercede, because in the spiritual warfare that goes on between good and evil, Satan is trying to lead these people away from God, and when we can intercede continually by name for these people, God can make has the ability to make a difference there when you intercede for these individuals. And it was just beautiful to see how God connected us. We were able to knock on we knocked on doors of Freemason leaders who asked us to pray for every Freemason in the country. We knocked on the door of the president of the country. We were able to share also some glow tracks with people, because we did realize we want to give people an opportunity to have a follow-up. And also, we had on the glow track on the back, we would have a website that people can go to and ask for more prayer, download some content, resources. And God brought people into the church just through that kind of outreach.
Thanks for listening to Disruptive Adventism. We'll be right back after this ad break. We're back with more Disruptive Adventism. Today, we're talking about mission trips in developed countries and whether they really work. We continue with the story of the Iceland mission trip and some of the challenges that the team faced.
Everyone did speak English, which was good, because the people in Iceland are very educated, and I met almost nobody who didn't speak English in Iceland. So that was a blessing. But the beautiful part was, and I've never experienced this before like this, it was kind of like an ACTS experience for us as a group. You have 50 people from 6 continents, different cultures, and we don't know each other. But within one day or two, just because of the hours of spent in united prayer, God brought us together and melted us together as a group like nothing I've ever seen before, really. There was no conflict. There were no issues. You're living with 50 people in a small dorm. There's no space, and there's all this. No challenges. It was beautiful. And then, but you were asking about challenges. So, of course, there were logistical issues, cars breaking down, things that, we couldn't expect. We had... challenges with the weather. There was a rain coming and we were outside for hours. What do we do? But the beautiful thing is every challenge brought us to our knees and to pray more and it built our faith. It was so cool. But another thing that we didn't know was the exact same time of our mission was Pride Week in Iceland. And so the attention of the people was on a very progressive item in pop culture. And so another challenge was for some of the young people, they were scared knocking on doors and offering prayer to strangers. But I can give you a whole bunch of testimonies of young people who were like, this completely radically changed their prayer life. Before the mission, they had never really prayed much, maybe for their meals, or maybe a brief prayer in the morning. But they told us, like, this week, completely changed the understanding of prayer, the how prayer and spiritual warfare are connected, and how powerful prayer can be. Faith and prayer can do what no other power on earth can accomplish. Ministry of Healing, I think it's page 509, says that. And so also experiencing the mentoring part of it. We had many teenagers and even older ones that really appreciated us as leaders. We were very open with them. We told them, hey, we don't really know what we're doing here. We're just trusting in God and we want Him to lead. And then sharing with them our experience that we have had in prayer and how we experienced revival in our own lives. It was just beautiful, a beautiful bond that was created there as missionaries I'm making a point here that it's important that we spent that quality time with them. We could have just gone out and done mission the whole time, but we spent quality time with them as well, because that helped them to develop an interest in doing this kind of mission where they are at home. And so I have reports of them going back to their countries and doing these kind of missions now. We're talking about, you know, going all around the world and doing more of these prayer-focused missions and just interceding for the cities of this world, the secular places, the non-religious, the non-Christian places of this world, and just see what God will do.
As you heard, the team had some challenges, from sharing to openness to simply not knowing when the opportunity may come to share the good news about Jesus. But something Jonathan told me that was crucial to this mission trip was the prayer aspect, the mindset that they had during this time. Here's Jonathan continuing with the story.
Yeah. I'm not against programs and against planning. We're very clear and structured from the Bible. And look at Nehemiah. He planned. He prayed, but he planned. He knew exactly. He was praying, you know, chapter 1, Nehemiah. God, I have a burden for the city of Jerusalem. And then give me an opportunity. In chapter 2, he gets the opportunity after praying for months. And he has a plan immediately what he's supposed to do. He was thinking. So there's nothing wrong with planning. But the key point is that we make missions... that all of our evangelistic endeavor, all of our outreach is grounded in much prayer, much surrender, letting God take the lead and trusting that He is leading as you plan, okay? So that really inspired, that really changed me in this whole process. Everything I want to do for God, I want to make sure that it's not just, oh, I have a great idea and I'm going to do this now. I'm going to bathe this in prayer and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender this to You. If You want us to do this, make a way. And in our case here, I mean, God gave us incredible support, financial support from people we would have never expected financial support from. I mean, I'm talking a lot of money that we needed that we could have never raised by just, you know, asking around or calling in this short time. So the Lord just provided in beautiful ways because we made it a point to trust in Him from the beginning on, and being willing to live with the tension that for a little while, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what He's going to lead you to. And you don't know how you're going to accomplish it. But your faith grows as you take step by step on that water, like Peter, you know?
All right. So we learn about the setup, the challenges, and the mindset. But what about the results? That's usually where we think whether something is successful or not. If it was successful, the results will show it, right? Well, not so fast. Jonathan will say in his response that this metric is faulty, and I agree with him, because the results shouldn't be quantified. This is a superfluous metric. Instead, we should be looking at the result that the mission trip is having in our own lives.
So I know people like numbers and so on, and I told our missionaries from the beginning on, we are not here to trying to produce a result, trying to prove that we did something for God. We're here to just let God put the success of the mission in God's hands. Like, if there's no results that we can see with our human perception, that's okay. We're going to live with that. But because we believe in the power of prayer and we know God is working. When it comes to these kind of things, changing hearts of people, it takes time. That's why we need to continually intercede. So number one is, I don't think we will see all the results until we go to heaven. But the Lord blessed us right away with some results that we did not expect. We had, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of hits on our website that we had on that glow track. People asking for more prayer, people asking for Bible study. And we did not push Bible studies at all. It was just something we offered on the website as a side note, you know, people asking to connect with our churches. Just last week, I heard from the Trans-European Division president, the story that on Sabbath, 2 weeks ago, a lady came to church that we had apparently prayed with, and she had received a glow track, and now she's so happy to be with people who believe that God answers prayers, and she wants to put her children into the local Adventist school that is, by the way, struggling with enrollment, and now God is providing people there. So we see some results already, but for us the focus really was on giving God the opportunity to be glorified through this and letting him make this successful. Because when you think about it, when you pray for somebody consistently, God has access to that person's life in the realm of spiritual warfare, has access to that person's life continually and can work on that person's heart. When that person who shared with us their prayer request sees their prayer answered, they're going to be wondering, like, who is this God? Who are these people whose God is hearing their prayers? You know, we can come to the door and be like, hey, the seventh day is the Sabbath, or show them all our logical beliefs, which they are wonderful beliefs. But they're going, you can try to convert someone, you know, through our logic. But when they experience God, if that's the foundation, they're going to come running, wanting to know more. I don't have to come with the logic if I can show them that God exists. And so once they experience that, they're going to come search for more, wanting more. And the reality is, even if they don't become Seventh-day Adventists in this life, but if the prayer that we had with them and the continual influence of the Holy Spirit in their life as we pray for them, if that's going to lead them into a pathway of seeking God, I trust that God will lead them, you know, into the truth that they can take, you know, and if they make it all the way to the Adventist church, praise God, you know. But we have to live the fact that sometimes we will not see everyone become a baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist church. But there are people who I believe will be in heaven because they are now seeking God, you know, and they, you know, some people die and never get to the point where they find the full truth, but that's okay. But I trust God that this is just the beginning, you know.
A good reminder to all of us that our personal change and revival is quite important. We'll be right back after this ad break. And we're back with more Disruptive Adventism. Today we're talking about Iceland and mission trips in the developed world. Jonathan continues telling us in this last part with what has happened to the local church after they left Iceland.
Yeah, so what we found is, because I was told by local Adventists in Iceland that their church is really struggling, there's not much growth, there's not a lot of young people, they're fighting with each other, there are issues and challenges. You know, have 100 members, they're all like kind of related to each other, that's just what happens, and there's not a big outreach focus, or there wasn't. What the church really needs is revival, okay? And I think that's true for most churches, especially churches where we are kind of scared to bring friends and invitees to. It's because there's, yeah, no revival, no real experience with God, no true joy in Jesus. But we found it a blessing to go to Iceland and work with some of the members. We invited them, hey, join us, you know, come with us. And we had locals join us. And they were so excited. They were afraid too, but they were excited. And God gave us the right people that had an experience with us that I think has not only transformed their life, but will transform the local church. We've been already told, as we, you know, we were interceding for the local church as well, because we knew, you know, exactly what you were saying. We don't want people to come and then be exposed to, you know, the opposite of what they were expecting. So we have been praying for the local church for revival. And I was told last week as well that there is revival going on in the churches. And revival comes only in answer to prayer. I think one key point is prayer, if that doesn't become clear yet. When we can spend, you know, all of our life trying to prepare a church to the point where they can receive guests, but we will never get to that point. The reality is there will always be, you know, weeds and tares together. And what you work with those who are willing, and if you are engaged in mission, try to connect those who are coming in with the right people. But prayer really, in this kind of work, we saw that prayer made all the difference. Even with the local church, And now I'm being because we were able to share these testimonies. I mean, I haven't even shared a lot of them now, but we were sharing these testimonies with a local church on the end of our mission, and they were very inspired. They saw, hey, God is at work here. We can do something, and it can be very simple. Prayer and sharing a glow track, I mean, it's not very hard. And so I believe that when they see and hear the experience of people engaging in the mission of God, it will change the local church as well. So I wouldn't wait to the point where until the church is ready, but work with them and go with them through the process, and it will transform the church. Mission and prayer is, I think, a powerful combination to really bring transformation.
A revival that can be effectuated in all places. So we asked Jonathan how to replicate this idea in other developed countries. Here's the answer.
Right, right. So we actually, since this is very fresh, this had just happened a few weeks ago, we don't have anything like written down as far as what we did, but I want to encourage people to, number one, pray and ask God, you know, what is something I can do in this community? It's very simple. I mean, you can really just go to a door and say, hey, just be honest with them. Don't try to manipulate. Don't try to lie or sugarcoat something. Like, hey, I believe in prayer and I just want to pray to God for you. Is there something I can pray for? Very simple. And then you collect those prayer requests and you keep praying. And if you have a chance, you know, you can visit and follow up in a week or two. Did God answer this prayer? Did something change in your life? And you can build a relationship that way. I mean, our mission was very short term, but if I would do this long term here with my local church, I would make it a point to, you know, have continual prayer ministry and then go visit these people that you are praying for so that they know you are interceding. But as far as materials, we are trying to develop a little handbook on this. So you can keep your eyes open on gycweb.org. Not a great website for prayer and spiritual resources is revivalandreformation.org. Thousands of things on prayer and even some of the things that I mentioned you can find there as well. Yeah.
That handbook and the other resources are now available. So make sure to head to the description below and to check them out. Thanks for listening to Disruptive Adventism today. We hope that you shared this episode with somebody else. And here is Jonathan's final word. We appreciate that you've been listening. Thanks a lot.
Well, I just want to encourage you to, whatever you do, start with prayer and make it a real experience with God by just being completely honest with Him and just saying, hey, God, do with my life what is best for the mission. Just take my life and live out your life within me. Really, that's what I want to encourage people to do, because then God can really use you and do incredible things. All glory goes to God for this mission that we had. It's nothing that I could have produced or anyone else. It's really the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage people to be bold, think big, but do it prayerfully, and God can use you in your local context and wherever you go.
You've been listening to Disruptive Adventism. We hope that today's topic helped you to think and change something about your practices, about your faith, about your Adventism. If you want to subscribe, make sure to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be there. And make sure to give us a review if you like what you're listening to. If you want to support, make sure to go to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. It helps us pay our bills and produce the content that you're listening to. And if you want to socialize, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, or on Twitter, and hit us up whenever you need anything. We'll be there to support you. Thank you for listening today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.